Sermon podcasts come to you from Christ Church Cathedral in the Anglican Diocese of Fredericton in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. This is a version of a sermon delivered by the Dean of Fredericton, Jeffrey Hall. On the second Sunday after Epiphany, Lections for Proper 2, January 19th, 2025, entitled The First of His Signs. Listen to podcasts by visiting the Watch and Listen tab on our website at christchurchcathedral.com. Search Christ Church Cathedral Fredericton podcasts on the web. Or find us listed on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, TuneIn Radio, or Podchaser podcasts. Subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed. The story is told about John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Church movement. John had lived a rather wild life. He was a rock musician, dabbled in some drugs, and so on and so on. In a dramatic conversion, he was brought to Christ. He went to church, and on the way out after the worship, John asked the pastor, "So when do you do the healings and exorcisms and stuff?" He had read about these things in the Bible and was eager to see them for himself. The preacher replied, "Oh, we believe in those things, but we don't do them." The church of today, for the most part, has departed from any expectation of signs and wonders actually happening in our midst. And let's face it, we have a problem with miracles. The stories we hear, like the one from the second chapter of John today, falls on deaf ears. Maybe better put, it falls on the skeptical ear. Gallons and gallons of regular, everyday water turned into wine. You expect me to believe that? Even if I believe it, I know full well it happened in a place and time so far removed from rural Canadian province of New Brunswick in the year 2025. I mean, wasn't there an enlightenment or something in the Middle Ages when we stopped the foolishness? Wasn't that when we stopped believing in hocus pocus, magic tricks, and miracles? We're thinking people now. We know better than to expect something wonderful happening totally out of the ordinary, ordered lives we've been conditioned to lead. I mean, wouldn't it help if we could all just get with the program and do this church thing in a modern kind of way? Well, I think I should remind you about where you are. You're sitting in a Christian church. You're spending a valuable hour or more of your Sunday morning with people with some kind of faith. people who believe or come here to somehow grasp a belief in things not so ordinary. The one thing that everyone here has in common is that somehow, some way, in a world that repeatedly tells us this is all just poppycock, we found our way here. These days, we often sit in disbelief that churches can have so few people attending them. Well, I'm sometimes amazed by the fact that we have so many. It's a miracle. And we have trouble with miracles. We might want to note that the concept of a miracle, even the word itself, is a relatively new one. Miracles didn't really become a problem for Christianity until the 19th century. Before then, surely there were lots of people who disbelieved that Jesus performed miracles. But after that, at least among intellectuals in places like Germany and France, the very thought of anybody performing a miracle was excluded from the realm of possibility altogether. Stories about miracles or anything else that doesn't fit into the mechanistic, materialistic universe have had rough going ever since. Miracles don't fit neatly into a world ruled by the laws of nature. We know that everything happens according to a certain set of predetermined rules or laws. We spend millions of dollars every year training and educating people in the ways and means of how the world works. The better we know that, the better we can manipulate its possibilities. My first university study was in science. And at one time, I could give you a list as long as my arm of the laws that determine how things work. But a Christian worldview is based on different assumptions. The Christian knows that there are really no laws of nature. If they were laws, that would mean they could be broken. And actually, they can't. Everything would happen always according to a set plan. Most of us are here either because we know that's not always true, or we suspect that it might not always be true. We worship God because we know that with Him there are other possibilities. We know that the world doesn't always run according to the laws of nature, but rather that the world is a predictable place, but because of that, familiarity with predictability also exists the possibility something can happen outside of those bounds. If the world wasn't that way, there would be no miracles. I knew a man who had a dream for his retirement of building a grandfather clock. Now, his plan was not to buy one of those paste-together kits where you assemble the case from pre-cut wood and unpack the clockworks from styrofoam and bolt it using pre-drilled holes to the case. His dream was to build a grandfather clock from scratch. And build it he did. It took years. He carefully crafted the components of the case with the help of a man who had spent his whole life repairing watches, and clocks. He made each component of the clockworks, adjusted, tweaked, and fiddled with the complex inner workings until one day he took the key he himself had fashioned and wound the spring, which would drive the pendulum, giving voice to the chimes and second by second movement of the hands. He stepped back with great satisfaction and listened as the minute hand reached 12. Many these days, whether they realize it or not, see the universe that way. The world, nature, is the clock, and God is the clockmaker. One day, far back in history, God took a step back from this wonderful, complex creation and turned the key that set everything in motion. God and creation are understood with the clockmaker metaphor. The clockmaker no longer intrudes or changes anything. The clock runs entirely on its own. But it's interesting, isn't it, that the gospel contradicts the clockmaker image of God and creation. In John's gospel, the miracles, God's interventions in the workings of the everyday world, happen often. When they happen, John calls them signs. Little windows which open, allowing the earth-bound creatures we are peek for just a moment at the God who made it all. Signs allow us to witness the wonderful working of God at a speed more noticeable than usual. Our problem may be that God works in such grand ways, on such a large scale, so foreign to our tiny existence, that we can't even begin to see it. If we could see it, C.S. Lewis wrote, we would only stand and marvel at the sign that points toward the one who moves the stars. So when Jesus calmed the storm and made the angry waves still, only one out of the 10 who witnessed it wondered, who is this? And that was the one who wrote it down. To a few, the wonder became a sign that in Jesus they were witnessing at a different speed and on a different scale the very God who created those waves and that wind. And Lewis says that miracles are the retelling in small letters of the same story that is written in letters too large for some of us to see. Miracles are God doing locally that which God has already done universally. That's why they are best referred to as signs, events which point us toward something we can't begin to understand or even see. Only marvel and behold. Jesus turned water into wine at Cana. God does that all the time in France, in the valleys of Southern California, and now even here in little old New Brunswick, as the sun and the rain mature the grapes. We don't call a gallon of Gallo or Le Pied d'Or a miracle, but maybe we should. Maybe we should look at the vibrant colors of a hillside in New Brunswick on an autumn day, or visit the maternity ward at the hospital, or observe the intricacy of an ordinary head of broccoli we pick up at Sobeys, and realize it's a miracle. Because it is. When Jesus turned water into wine at Cana, some people saw that something was afoot in the world. Something outside of the ordinary realm of experience. Something that proved for those with eyes to see that God, working in and through Jesus, was real, present, and active within the created order. And so John puts it, this was the first of his signs and revealed his glory. Epiphany is the season of revelation. During Epiphany, we focus on the ways in which God chooses to show himself in the everyday world. Epiphany is the season of manifestation, when we hear retold the story of how the glory of God shines throughout the world. Some of us will see only what we expect to see. Nothing. An ordinary, predictable world in which nothing changes, nothing is holy. But some, with eyes to see, will catch glimpses and flashes of that glory hidden in the ordinariness of our surroundings. God moving among us. And they will be the fortunate ones, since they, like the disciples, will believe. Christ Church Cathedral is located at the corner of Church and Brunswick Streets in Fredericton, New Brunswick. We're always pleased to welcome visitors and guests. For information on programs and worship times, visit christchurchcathedral.com. Send us a message by email at office@christchurchcathedral.com. Or contact the church office by phone Monday to Friday, 9 to 12 noon at 506-450-8500. We'd be pleased to have you visit.